Okay, good morning, everybody. We are learning Brachos Daf Mem Daled today. This year is sponsored by Yoma Construction and the Belmzers. We appreciate the sponsorship as well as the breakfast is provided by Bagel Munch, and we appreciate their generosity. Okay, so we are learning Mem Daled. New Mishnah. Mishnah says, Hey, real fun of Maliach. Tchila upas yimo mevarachal ha pas shapas tfeila lo. This Mishnah is referring to a concept called the Ikar V'Tafel. The Mishnah itself continues to say zehaklal kol sheu ikar v'imo tfeila mevarachal ha ikar poteres ha tfeila. This Mishnah is expressing the concept that whenever you have combinations of foods, you only say a bracha on the ikar and you don't say any bracha on the tafel foods. Ikar means the main food, and tafel is the auxiliary food, whatever. It says it's the ingredients that are not the main, they're not the primary. We've seen this before. So this Mishnah gives an unusual example of that phenomenon where it says the bread is the tafel to the maliach. Maliach is usually a salty fish. Rashi says called davar maluach, some kind of a salty food. And the word is tachila. The Mishnah says that you did this tachila. Usually we're used to thinking of the word tachila to mean first. Like in time, but in several places the Mishnayos use the word tchila to mean ikar as the main thing, and so this is saying that if the maliach is the main food, and there's pas some bread along with it, then you say a bracha on the other food, and the pas is tafel. It's unbelievable. We're used to thinking of the notion that bread is always the ikar, and we're not thinking that on our own instincts. That's what the Gemara itself says over here earlier in the perek, that whenever I have a Chameshas Aminim, even, forget about bread. Even Chameshas Aminim is always the ikar.
Maybe here they're referring actually to a cracker. You eat a dag maluach, whatever, what do you call it?
Herring.
You put it on a little cracker in order to hold it or cut it.
Right. So how do you know that you do that? So that's this Mishnah. But The point is that it seems to go against the earlier rule. The earlier rule is that when I have a Chameshas Aminim, it should always be the ikar. By policy rather than by mitzvah. And so this Mishnah is saying, no, it's not true. That's pretty much like what you're describing, is that sometimes the bread or the mezonos food can be a tafel. With respect to the cracker case, the poskim distinguish between, flavorless crackers and flavorful crackers. Problem is that we don't really have so many flavorless crackers, and so they don't really like applying that rule the way you described it. But in theory, that would be the case. So this is saying even bread can be tafel. The Gemara is going to ask over here. So the Mishnah is saying this case, that even when bread is tafel to the other food, the bread does not get a bracha. It's tafel to the bracha that you say on the food that's maluach, even if that's like shahakol. The Gemara asks, but that's not possible. The Gemara asks, miyakamidi, is there any such thing, any such case, any such situation where you have the heavy maliach ikar upas tefela, where the salted food or the salted fish is the ikar, and the bread is tafel to it? So you gave one very simple example off the top of your head. But the Gemara couldn't think of that. The Gemara says, okay, so we have to come up with an unusual situation where the bread is the tafel food. We're talking about an unusual case where the person is eating peros ginosar. Ginosar is the area near the Kinneret, near Tintveria. And apparently they had delicious fruit there. And if you're eating the peros of ginosar, then those foods, those are unusual products. Those are unusual foods, and they... Rashi says, chashuvim min hapas. They are more ikar, more chashuv even than pas. And if not for that unusual situation, then you won't have a case where any other food can overwhelm the bread in terms of chashivus. And so you would say the bracha on the bread. But if you have peros ginosar, now it's unclear what these peros ginosar are. What are they?
Today they grow bananas there, all around the Canary.
Well, so okay, so they're the Ginosarian bananas.
You wouldn't call a banana sweet food, an exceptionally sweet food.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But today, maybe. if you drive around the Canary, around where it says Ginosar Valley, the entire thing is bananas.
Cool. Mm.
For years.
So there you go. So until the bananas were brought over there, what were they growing over there? It never identifies which food it is. It just assumes that whatever it is, Peros Ginos are unusual. And then we're going to have a bunch of stories that confirm the magical properties of Peros Ginos are. Amr Rabba Bar Bachana would tell us that he has Lina Basra Rabbi Yochanan the Mechel Peros Ginos are. He tells us a Gedolim story of Rabbi Yochanan about what he was like when he would eat Peros Ginos are. Ki havinan bein meya menaktina leluchal chad vechad asara asara. Apparently, this happened a number of times, and he brought a giant crew of people who would harvest enormous quantities of the Peros Ginos are. Still don't know what it is, but anyway, so whatever these Peros are. And they had magical properties. And even if we had a whole team of 100 of us, menaktina leluchal chad vechad asara asara, each one would be able to pick 10 of these Peros Ginos are, 10 units. And v'havinen be yasar me'aktinen le'chal chad v'chad me'ya. And, or if we had a smaller crew, each one would take a bigger. And either way, we would end up with thousands of these peros. V'akol me'ya minayo habis machzik lehu tzana bar telas asave. And it had a lot of quantity in each whatever person's batch. Anyway, the point of it being v'yachil lehu. And Rabbi Yochanan would do all of it. Now, Rabbi Yochanan was known elsewhere as being kind of overweight, obese. But still, I mean, this is something. Anyway, the point of it is, v'achilu mishtabe delo time ziona. And he would swear he's not full. Okay. I'm not sure exactly why this ranks as a Gedolim story. And I'm not sure, even if in terms of what it's supposed to demonstrate about Peres Ginosar, why does it have to be only Gedolim are experiencing this? I don't know. Anyway, the Gemara asks, what do you mean ziona? That's the story is wrong. That long time ziona, that it's like he didn't feel any substance? Ziona salgadach eleima mazona. No, mazon. Okay, it doesn't change it much. Rabbi Avo, ochel adu have sharek leidu. Now we're going to hear some more Gedolim stories about other rabbonim, amoraim, who would experience the Peres Ginosar magic. Rabbi Avo would eat these things adu sharek leidu fameyapose. Until his face was so shiny and slippery that the fly couldn't even land on his face. It would slide off from the effects of these Peres Ginosar. Rabbi Yami and Ravasi, Havu Afli Ad Denasar Mazayahu. They could eat these Peres Ginosar until their hair would fall out. And Reish Lakish, now we know Reish Lakish is kind of a Rambo, Reish Lakish. We don't always think of him that way. It says when he would get a hold of these Peres Ginosar, he would Achil Ad Demarid. He would go crazy, it says. He would become uncontrollable. The Amarlu Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan, his brother-in-law, his Rebbe, his Chavrusa, would hear, Reish Lakish got a hold of Peres Ginosar again. So he would send to the Beis Nesiyah, having Meshadeh Lei, the Rebbe Yudah Nesiyah, Balushi Abasrei. So the Nasi would have to send the National Guard out to bring it back home. Maisi Lei Lebeisei. Unclear exactly what we're gaining out of these stories, but we're just going to go on. Rav Dimi tells us that in Eretz Yisrael, Yanai HaMelech had in his HaRamelech. HaRamelech is also the site of a lot of these miracle stories. Anyway, this HaRamelech, he would have to produce, you know, countless batches of sardines in order to feed the people who are working. And it's unclear what it says, but I have to assume that it's referring to these Peres Ginosar again. So I have to assume that he's saying that the workers who are working with the Peres Ginosar, the Kotasei Te'enim, that's if the Te'enim or the Peres Ginosar are among them, every week you'd have to provide them with all this tris. Now tris is like sardines. So maybe this is the salty food that you would have to eat in order to come off of your sugar rush from the Peros Ginosar. And that this is what it's referring to. That's why the Mishnah says that the Maliach was the Iker food. So you put it all together, it comes out that your Peros Ginosar is really your Iker food. The Maliach is the antidote to the Peros Ginosar, and the bread is only what's kind of neutralizing all of those powerful tastes. And so the Iker is really the Peres Ginosar. But that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said that the Maliach is the bracha that you say. That's what Tosis asks. Those who ask, well, why are we saying a bracha on the Maliach? Why wasn't the Maliach itself tafel to the Perus? The Tosfos say that's true, it is, and it would be. And normally that would be the case. And you only have to say the bracha and the Perus Ginasar, but after my Skinan, that, and Tosfos give different scenarios, that the Perus Ginasar effect didn't kick in. I didn't realize that I was going to need to take these Maliach, in which case it's not covered by the bracha. I guess that's going to be the answer. That either they give two versions of this, that same answer. Either it took a long time for this to kick in, or that, and I had already said a bracha achron over the first peros, or that I didn't realize that I was going to need it at all. So it's again nimlach. Okay. In any case, also you see from Tosfos that if I have a double tafel, I have a tafel to a tafel to an ikur, then the bracha and the ikur covers all of the tefillin. Okay, in any case, then I kind of a very tangential way. Also, Yanei HaMelech had this area where he would have a tremendous number of gozlos, of birds, pigeons. B'shalosh brechus b'chodesh. Okay, amazing. Kiyasar Rabbi Yitzchak Amar. Now we have more of a tangent to a tangent. Rabbi Yitzchak would tell us about some other stories about this place. Ir Achas Reis of Eretz Yisrael. That has nothing to do with Har HaMelech and Yanei HaMelech or anything. It's just a remarkable place in Israel. Gufnis Shema. Shayba Shemonim Zukos Achim Kohanim Nesuos L'Shemonim Zukos Achayos Kohanos. Look at that. They had, it was a lot of Kohanim were there. And they had, you could find 80 pairs, 80 brothers, Kohanim brothers, who happened to have been married to 80 sisters who were Kohanos themselves. Now, it's a very remarkable thing, the fact that you had brothers married to sisters, and you had the fact that they were Kohanim, and that the girls were Kohanos, and the fact that they were all located in the same city. Unclear exactly what we're trying to emphasize here about this, if not the extraordinary population that even this phenomenon could be found in a city. Imagine what the general population was like, or there was something special about this city. Unclear. Ubadka Rabban and Misur Aviad Nahar Da. When the Rabbanim heard about this, they took a poll throughout all of Bavel to see, well, how common is it to have brothers married to sisters? The Loashkechu.
Are you talking about brothers mamish?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like these are brothers.
80 pairs of brothers, so it could be two.
Right, 80 families. Right. 80 families
not
where they're
coming. 80 in one family.
Right.
Right.
And the 80 pairs.
80
of
families
sisters.
In which you had brothers married to sisters.
So it could be 160. It's 80 pairs.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, you know, I wouldn't get too hung up on exactly the numbers or anything. But anyway, point is that this is something unusual. And they polled throughout all of Surah Naharda, all through Bavel, Veloashkechu, and they couldn't find another instance of this phenomenon of brothers married to sisters. Barmi Benasi, the Rav Chista, the Havanesivan, Lerami Barchama, Lemar Ugba Barchama. Except for Rav Chista's daughters who were married to Rav Chama's sons. And they weren't even Kohan. So that's unbelievable. In other words, and nevertheless, this phenomenon was so, there were so many of these in this city called, what do they call it? Gufnis. Okay, anyway. Okay, again, unclear to me. I haven't found anybody who made an explanation for what we're supposed to gain from this. Amarav. Rav made a comment that you need to have salt at the meal, and Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rabbi Yochanan saying that every suda needs to have something. And what is that stuff? Srif, sraf. Okay, some food. Rashi says it's soup. Don't get so excited. It's not like schnapps. Okay, Mishnah says.
Yeah, well, Rabbi's going
to
hear that.
No, this is soup. Okay, Mishnah says, "Achal anavim te'enim arimonim." This Mishnah actually comes to some pretty fundamental issues regarding the bracha achrona benching. So this is what it says: "Achal anavim te'enim arimonim." If let's say a person was eating, what are these things? Well, these things are fruit of the shivas aminim. Now remember, the shivas aminim are the seven foods that are identified as being special in Eretz Yisrael. like in Parshas Ekev, we're going to see this inside soon. Well, sort of. It says that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him you're coming into Eretz Yisrael and it's going to be great. It's a place where you have Chitas, Ora, Gefen. So Chitas, Ora are just grains. And then it lists five other things that are fruit. Gefen, Te'ena, Rimon, Zayas, which is olives, and Dvash. And Dvash is tomorrow. So there's five fruit. I don't know why exactly the Mishnah only chooses three out of the five. But anyway, it says, let's say you're eating those three types of fruit. So what's your bracha achrona? Bevarach achreihem. We're not asking the bracha rishona, that's the eights. Bracha achrona is shalosh brachos. You bench. Shalosh brachos means birkas hamazon. You say the full benching. Shalosh brachos. Diri Rabban Gamliel. That's what Rabban Gamliel said. We're not going to talk much about him because we spent a lot of time on his shita earlier on Daf Lam Zayin, as Rashi points out here. But that's what he holds. He holds that when the Chumash says you have to bench, it means anuol shiva seminim. And Chachamim omrim wrong, bracha achas mein shalosh. No, you only have to say what we call alamichya, which is the summary, the synopsis of the benching. Achas mein shalosh. You only say benching. I mean, you don't say alamichya. It's not going to be alamichya, it's going to be alaitz. So that comes up in our Gemara. And Rabbi Akiva holds a fundamentally different shita. Rabbi Akiva omer, afilu achal shelek, v'hum zonam, v'orech alav gimla brachos. Rabbi Akiva says, it's nothing to do with the shiva seminim. It simply is any meal that you have, any filling food, even if it's just cooked vegetables, you would say bench. You would have to bench on that. Okay, so that's a pretty fundamental machlokas about when you have to bench.
Is shalak any kind of vegetables, any cooked vegetables?
That's what it seems like. The Gemara's going to ask. It has to be something that's satisfying. It's filling. It's a meal food.
Right.
But in the meantime, in theory, it's not limited by the food type is the point. And the Mishnah concludes here with an interesting law about water. Hashosim mayim litzama o. If you drink water, cause you're thirsty. Levarach shahako al nebedvaro. Say shahako. It gets singled out like this. Rabbi Tarfon amer bori nefashos rabos v'chesronan. Rabbi Tarfon said bori nefashos. We're thinking, because we're so used to this, that he was saying, that, and make sure you say bracha achrona bori nefashos. But the Rishonim all say that it's not. He's saying a bracha Rishona is Bori Nefashos Rabos.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that's not our practice. We're going to see why.
So it's almost like you compromise. If you do both, we say one before, one
after. Yeah, it's funny. We're going to see that. That's pretty much how it goes. Okay, so the Gemara says here on this Machlokas in the Mishnah, my time at the Rabbi Gamliel. What's the source? What's the basis for Rabbi Gamliel Shita that you have to bench on all Shiva Saminim? Because the Pasuk says, and then it quotes the Pasuk. Now, obviously, this is all going to come down to the Pasuk that requires benching altogether. What's the Pasuk that requires benching altogether? We say in the benching, V'yachalta v'savata or v'yarachta shem alokecha. But there's no referent. It just says, V'yachalta, eat, v'savata, and fill, or v'yarachta shem alokecha. So what are you eating and filling up from that is requiring the benching? The Pasuk is vague. So usually in a vague Pasuk, you assume that it refers to whatever the previous item was in the Pasuk, so maybe it's referring to that. Well, the previous Pasuk refers only to iron and choshes and avanim, and so that's not it. But the previous Pasuk before that is referring to lechem. Eretz ha-shelob miskenes tochal ba-lechem. So there you go. So the previous Pasuk, it mentions that Eretz Yisrael is the place where you'll have no trouble finding your lechem. And then it says you'll eat. So Rabbi Gamliel, though, broadens it to all Shiva Saminim. Why? Because if you look to the previous Pasuk before the Lechem Pasuk, it says, you're coming into Eretz Yisrael, it's a place where you have, and it lists all the Shiva Saminim. So, my time at Rabbi Gamliel, because the Pasuk says, Eretz, Chita, Seorah, V'gomer, all the Shiva Saminim, Uksiv, and it says, skip a Pasuk, Eretz, Eshelo, V'skenosoch, Balechem, and then it says, put all together, comes out that any of those foods that you ate, the pasuk requires benching. They're all the same. Meaning that whether it's bread or shiva seminim, you have to bench. Verabbanan. So now we ask Rabbanan, well, why do you deny that? Why do you say only lechem? Because eretz hifsik ha'inyan. Because if you look at the pasuk carefully, it doesn't say it's the land where there's Shivas Aminim and there's bread and you have to eat. No, it says it's a land where there's Shivas Aminim. And it's a land where you'll have no trouble getting your bread and you eat and you fill. And so the fact that it breaks the flow with the repetition of Eretz Asher. So Hifsik Koinin. So that means detach the Shivas Aminim from the mitzvah of benching. Ivar Magam Leo, doesn't he notice that also? Nami. He answers, well, it's true. Eretz is Hifsik Koinin. That's true. That's what we're asking. Rabbi Gamliel, Nami, Eretz Hifsik Koinin. Doesn't he know that Eretz breaks up the flow? Gemara says, Ami Boilei, Lemute Kosis is Achita. That's true. So what Rabbi Gamliel understands from what the Pasuk was intending and all that is that it's not every type of achila of the Shivas Aminim. It's if you're going to be eating the grains, it has to be grains made into bread. But if you're going to be eating grains alone, like just munching on the grains as a snack, so then that's not going to get benching. So that's all you get out of the achita v'sa'ora, the eretz hifsika inyan. So in theory, if you're eating the Shivas Aminim in there, I don't know, they're as fruit, you're eating them as fruit. But the grains, you're eating them as bread. Then it needs a full benching, full berakas hamazon. And that's Rabbi Gamliel. We, of course, don't hold like Rabbi Gamliel. We hold that you only say the what's called the me'achas me'ein shalosh. So I'm Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi is now in Amora. I'm Rabbi Chanina, quoting Rabbi Chanina, also in Amora. So he says, all chamesh esaminim, these are all the grains. Now it's interesting. We call the grains chamesh esaminim, the five minim, the five types of grain. But also, like the Shulchan Aruch refers to the chamesh esaminim, the other fruits, the other five fruits. And they're all going to have the same rule, which is, you're only saying the bracha, Rishona as appropriate, and Bracha Achrona is the Me'ein Shalosh Bracha. So over here, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi quotes Rabbi Chanina saying, if it's the five grains, you say Mizonos. See, Mizonos is an interesting Bracha. The Mishnayos never referred to a Bracha Mizonos. There's no mention of Mizonos anywhere in the Mishnayos. That's why it pops up here a lot in the Gemaras, because it's quoting either from Brisas or because the Amorayim are making a fuss about this, the Mishnayos don't have it. So it says here that kol shumei chameshes haminim, any food that's made of the grains, any grain, mevarach alav borei minei mezonos. You say mezonos to lebesof, and the bracha achrona is achas me'ein shalosh. And obviously the exception would be if it's bread when you have to bench. Amar Rabba bar Mari, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. So Rabbi Shimon ben Levi is a transitional Tana Amora. So it quotes Rabbi Shimon ben Levi saying kol shumei shivas haminim. So he says, well, other than the grains, any of the Shivas Aminim that you eat, in other words, the five peros of the Shivas Aminim, you say ha'etz, ulebesof, and the bracha achron that you're going to say is, not like Rabbi Gamliel said, but you're going to say, bracha achas me'ein shalosh. You say that summary bracha, the alamichya bracha, the summary bracha, it's not going to be alamichya, it's going to be for peros. Amar li abaye l'rav dimi. So Abaye, now Abaye is pretty late, Amora. He's asking Rav Dimi, "My new bracha is mein shalosh. What is that bracha?" It's a little funny. Like, what did he say that morning when he was eating, you know, pears? I don't know. When he had some grapes. When was the last time? I don't know. So he has to ask him, "What's the nusach of the bracha?" These kinds of things in general, you have to wonder: is aren't these daily occurrences? And so they're asking a question now in the times of the late Amorayim, is what is the Nisuch of the Bracha? All right. Anyway, so this is what he was asking him. What's the Nisuch of the Bracha? The Gaon over here has all other girsa about what was being asked, but it's going to amount to a similar thing. He's asking, what's the Nisuch of the Bracha? Amar Lei. So he tells him, all right, well, I'll tell you what it says. I'll tell you, he said, this is what he said. I'll tell you how you say the Bracha. A pere de eitz. If we're talking about things like dates and figs and grapes, so then here's what you say. Now remember, the concept here is that we're saying a bracha, which is a synopsis of benching. That's what alamichya is. That's what the Ein Shalosh is. It's a synopsis of the benching. So he says, okay, here's what you do. You say it like this. You say, Baruch Hashem, Kerem Melech Olam. You say every bracha. And you say, Al ha'etz V'al priya eitz, v'al tenuvas hasadeh. Okay, so all of that is the synopsis of the first bracha of the benching, which is where you just mentioned the food. Right, the first bracha of the benching is just the food. Hazana zakol. So that's this. That, so you just in those words, you just did a summary of the first bracha, and then v'al eretz chem datov rechava she'en chalta lavoseinu lechom yipiyav lesvam mituva. Okay, that's the second bracha. That's the synopsis of bracha number two, which is noda lecha and v'al akol. That's about Eretz Yisrael. And then we continue with Rechem Hashem Elokeinu al Yisrael Amecha v'al Yerushalayim Yirecha v'al Mikdashecha v'al Mizbechecha v'sivnei Yerushalayim Yirkadshecha v'imher v'yameinu v'halinu socha v'samcheinu ba, or on the side b'vinya na. And that is the end of the synopsis of the third bracha of Rechem. It ends at Bona Yerushalayim. So we have now, by saying this, expressed the summary of the first three brachos of the benching, which is why it's called Me'ein Shalosh. Now, our Gemara continues. The Rambam, for example, doesn't have this continuation. He quotes this as a sum, put this in, but it continues with Ki ata tova meitiv lakol, which is the summary of the fourth bracha, which makes it Me'ein four brachos rather than Me'ein Shalosh brachos. But the Rambam puts this in as some add this line, and that's our practice, of course. And then it doesn't even finish what we do. We have even another line after that, and we bring it back to the first bracha of Anodelech al Aretz, etc. In other words, we continue. We bring it back to the food again, and that the Gemara doesn't have that over here. So the Rishonim had a question about whether to do that. Now that was what you do for grapes and for dates and figs. The chameshes haminim, what's the version of it when it's for grains, for mizonos foods? Alamichya, v'yala kalkala, v'yal tenuvas hasadeh, v'chulei, etc. So the wording that you do is michya v'kalkala. And you conclude with ala aretz v'yala michya. So now the Gemara asks, well, is there a conclusion? Normally a long bracha gets a yechasima. So mechtem b'may fasim. So what's the conclusion that you say? And in order to illustrate its question, it gives you a little bit of a digression here. Kesser of Dima Amar, well, like this, you know, chasim b'rosh chodesh, on rosh chodesh, the chasima that you say in Shemona Esrei is mekadesh Yisrael v'rosh chadashim, for example. So you see that we sometimes will lump together multiple themes in the same chasima. Ordinarily, you don't do that. Ordinarily, the Gemara has... See, there's a lot of background to this line over here, why we even introduced this. Normally, the rule is ein chosma v'shnayim. You're not allowed to say a chasima sabracha on more than one theme. But we violate that over here for Rosh Chodesh, and the Gemara has to try to explain, or at least just assert anyway, without explaining, that it's all considered the same theme. So now what do we do here? Because we just summarized three separate brachos, which each bracha in the original had its own chasima. Now we want to conclude it. Which conclusion are you going to say in the chasima sabracha? You're only going to give one. So what do we do here? So Rav Chista Amar al ha'aretz v'al perasteha. Rav Chista felt that this is considered to be an appropriate chasima sabracha. It's not a violation of the Ein Chosim B'Shtayim rule. And he said, Al Haaretz v'al Peiroseha. Okay, and that's what we do. And of course, he would say the same thing for Al HaMichya and for the wine. You say the one about Al Geffen. The Gross spells out that Geffen is part of it. And Tosis over here makes the comment that if you ate multiple of those, you had some wine and also you had some grapes and or whatever, separate. And you also had some Zonos food. So then you don't say separate bracha achronas, you lump them all together. And then all of that would be considered also included in the chasima. All right, so now what was the version of the chasima we said? Was al ha'aretz v'yal what? It said here, al ha'aretz v'yal peiroseha. So who said that? That was Rav Chista told us that nusach. Right, Rav Chista. Now, we don't usually pay attention much to names, but this Rav Chista, because his title is Rav Chista, so even if we knew nothing else about him, we would know one thing for sure. He was an Amora from Bavel, because his title is Rav. So here's an Amora from Bavel telling us that the Chasimus HaBracha that you're going to say is Al HaAretz. What is the Aretz that he's talking about? So the Aretz, what is that? Earth? The ground? The Al Peros and it's Peros. Rabbi Yochanan, and we know from Yochanan, because his title is Rabbi Yochanan, and also because we know that he's an Amora that put together Talmud Yerushalmi, he's from Eretz Yisrael. So he says, Al Aretz V'Al HaPeros, the land and its Peros. So Amram comes along and he says, you know, that's not really a maflokes, lo pligi, halan v'halahu. You know, we're not really necessarily arguing. And the point is that if you're in Israel or if you're out of Israel. Because we always emphasize Israel and Israeli peros as opposed to just outside of Israel and just miscellaneous peros. So the problem is, maskif l'Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, it's all backwards. In who? Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is an Amora from Bavel. And he's saying, what's going on? In who achli v'anan mivarchim? They're eating the Eretz Yisrael peros, and we're going to say peroseha? That's backwards. Ela eipach. Rav Chista, okay. So we, I mean, yeah, it was obvious that it was going to be backwards. Rav Chista, Amar al haaretz v'al ha-peros. Rav Chista and Bavel is saying, you just say the bracha, al haaretz v'al ha-peros. The land and peros, and the peros. But not necessarily the special peros of Eretz Yisrael or anything, which is what you would be implying by saying it's peros. And Rav Yochanan al haaretz, that's not land, that's Israel. The al peros ha and the peros of Eretz Yisrael. All right, anyway, that's what we do. Tosis over here does in a kind of a remarkable thing, quotes the Rambam. Tosis over here quotes the Rambam and saying, the Rambam says that on special occasions, like on Rosh Chodesh and the Moed, if you're going to say Alamich, you have to insert the mention of Rosh Chodesh and of the Moed. And Tosis say, I don't think we do that. That's... The Tosfos say, maybe it depends. If you're Kovei Suuda on Peros, we don't do that. So maybe for us, you don't do that. And maybe it's not, therefore, it's not a special Suudas Yom Tov or a Suudas Rosh Chodesh or something. Anyway, that's pretty interesting. So we do that. It's not really so astonishing that you wouldn't do that, such as, for example, on Chanukah Purim, we don't do that. Like, even though in benching, we make a whole fuss about Al HaNisim, we don't carry that over into Al HaMichya. But when it comes to like Rosh Chodashim and the Moedim, we do. Okay, so the Gemara goes on. Now this whole Amud Beis is all referring to. This is all kind of important bracha achrona stuff. So Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Mishum Rabbeinu, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Amora from Bavel quotes Mishum Rabbeinu, probably Rav. He says like this. Al habeya v'yamini kufra betchila, if you're eating eggs or meat, betchila mevarech shehakol ulebesof bar nefashos rabos. Okay, so what is his point here? He's saying that, you know, eggs and meat, we knew this already from before, about the shehakol anyway, but the bar nefashos is his point. His point is, he say bar nefashos, for these are very substantial foods. Aval yarka lo. But if you're just eating vegetables, then you don't say a bracha achrona at all. This is unbelievable. They had like a whole different system. So they were saying, you don't say bracha achrona on vegetables. Rabbi Yitzchak, the other Amor, says, no, I think you do. Afilu yarka, you should say bracha achrona even on vegetables. Aval maya lo. But you don't say bracha achrona on water. That's nothing. But Rav Papa said, no, I think afilu maya. That you should say the bracha even if you're just drinking water. Now, of course, water, remember, in the Mishnah, it refers to water. Water, it only specifies in the Mishnah the water that you're drinking is litsam o, is when you're thirsty. The Gemara at the end of the parak, if we get there, is going to emphasize that. So you're saying the bracha achrona on the water that you drunk litsam o. So anyway, these are Amoraim who are arguing about the bracha achrona and when you say it. Marzutra, and now he's having machlokas amoraim about which amoraim to follow. Marzutra, avikar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, and Rav Shimi bar Rashi, avikar Rav Yitzchak. Okay, these other amoraim had different practices regarding which of these policies to follow. Neither of them are following Rav Papa, as it happens. And the siman achad kechechechechad. Okay, in case you were trying to keep track of which amora was holding which other amora, you could have that siman, the one that has the double name versus the single name. Anyway, Amar Ravashi, a remarkable kind of a summary statement from Ravashi. Ravashi if this is the final Rav Ashi, so then usually his statements are going to be the conclusions. Ana zimna dehimad karna avidna kikulu. Rav Ashi says, well, when I remember to, sometimes, this is what he says, sometimes when I remember, I would do what all of them say, which means like Rav Papa. You know, they said bracha achrona and everything. Sometimes, you know, when he remembers, you know how it is, with bracha achronas. All right.
We know, like, the Ashkenaz Agdola, that's credible.
Set up the system of brachos.
Right, exactly.
But apparently not all of the rules, and they weren't that firm.
Right, because see, it seems like a food, certainly for Bechot HaKonot, that it was still very much of a voluntary...
Very, very, well, you say voluntary. I might have said, like a place-specific.
Okay.
Or
okay.
some other region. Yeah, some other way of... having the divergent practices. That's for sure. You certainly see that from here, and that was centuries. We're talking not even by the end of the Tanaim, talking about Amorayim, deep mm-hmm. into the Amorayim, maybe even throughout the entire Amorayim. For that matter, as you get the Tosfos, Tosfos even say, that what?
We got Frum after that.
Okay, it might reflect that. Tosfos have a comment here on the top. V'chein ananohokim karavashi. That's our minhag. That's our minhag. V'chein ananogin. That's our minhag. To follow Rav Ashi, the mevarachim baser maya baser yarkav armini bari nefashos ribos. That we'll even say the bracha after water and vegetables and other kinds of foods. Doesn't take away from the fact that earlier we discussed that you need a kashir. Okay. So now the Gemara is not really done. Now we're trying to kind of challenge some of these statements. Tanan, there's a Mishnah in Nida that makes the comment. It says, you have sometimes a situation where what this is doing in Nida, it's just part of a set of other Mishnayos which have the same structure of sometimes you have some kind of an object or a situation or a scenario where it experiences part one but not part two. But if it has a part two, then it's definitely going to have a part one. That kind of a thing is a set of Mishnayos there. So this happens to fall on that list. So look what it says. It says, Kol she'atun bracha li'acharav, ta'un bracha lifanav. V'yeish ta'un bracha lifanav, v'ein ta'un bracha li'acharav. Now this is a Mishnah, right? These are Tanoim. And the policy always is that statements of Amoraim have to be true to the statements of the Tanoim. So we're going to start challenging these Amoraim here on the strength of this Mishnah. And here is what we are saying. This Mishnah made a claim. There's no situation where you're going to have a bracha achrona without a bracha rishona, but you can have a situation of bracha rishona without a bracha achrona. So now we have to try to figure out, well, what is that referring to? We all agree that there's no bracha achrona case without a bracha rishona, but where do you ever have a situation of bracha rishona without a corresponding bracha achrona? So, of course, let's see. B'shlam al-Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, we understand. Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, of course, would easily say, well, that's exactly my point. Because it's only like meat and eggs where you're going to say a bracha achrona, but most of the other regular foods don't get a bracha achrona, like yarka. And Rav Yitzchak also, the apuke maya, he says, yeah, such as water. You don't get a bracha achrona on water. And the Rav Papa, he's saying a bracha achrona on everything. So what is this Mishnah referring to when it says you can have a case of bracha achrona without a bracha achrona? Apuke maya. Gemara says, well, we're not talking about food. The apuke mitzvos. We're talking about a whole other field of bracha rishona, the bracha rishona on mitzvos, where you say bracha rishona before you do all kinds of mitzvos, and there's no bracha achrona. So that's all it meant. The Mishnah is still perfectly understandable. So now the Gemara says, well, hold on, not so fast. Remember, the Mishnah is in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah is talking about Israeli practice. Not so fast. In Israel, the Talmud Bavli reports that in Israel, they had the practice that when they took off their tefillin, they'd say a bracha. We don't have that practice. We say a bracha when we put on the tefillin. You have it. That itself is its own question about which brachos. But when you take them off, you don't say a bracha. So, but in Eretz Yisrael, that was, at least in some places, possibly in all places, that was the practice. They'd say the bracha l'shmor chukav. We have a little bit of a, we have a little bit of a remiss to this, that some have the minhag, that when you get into Volot Zion, toward the end of Volot Zion, there's a place where you say, Hiratzon, Shenishmor Chukecha B'Olam Hazeh. So when you get to that phrase, Shenishmor Chukecha B'Olam Hazeh, some people will take off their tefillin from their hand already at that point, as to be reminiscent kind of this practice that they had in Eretz Yisrael, that taking off your tefillin and associated with the brach, Lishmor Chukav. So it says, who does that? I don't know. Some people do that. Shulchan Aruch writes it as kind of, what?
Have you ever seen anybody do that?
Yes.
Okay.
I know that that Shulchan Aruch describes that as being like one of the preferred places. If you have to take a good feeling early, you know, at different times they tell you, well, make sure at least after the Kaddish after Leinu, or maybe at least the Kaddish after Valzion, or maybe the Hiratzon. In other words, that's one of the stops where you would wait, like you hold off until that. And then the Kedusha of Avodah Zion, and as if like you can at least, there are these mile markers or landmarks where you would, if you get this part, so then, okay, now at least, okay, take out the film. So this is one of them. So in any case, that practice that we're referring to over here, which we don't really know too much about, because, you know, we don't have it and we don't see it and don't really talk too much about it. So we're saying, hold on, not so fast. So then you can't say brachos, brichas ha-mitzvah, because they say bracha achrona, brichas ha-mitzvah too. So now le'apu kemai. So really, the answer is very obvious. The answer is, okay, every other mitzvah that isn't tefillin. I mean, why is this like, what, how did this make it more difficult? If it's just tefillin. So that's what it looks like. And so it's more, you could understand why that nusach of the bracha is l'shmor hukav. The Shmor Chukav is very significant with respect to tefillin, because the pasuk says "Bishamarta es hachuka hazos lemoada," and what chok is that pasuk referring to? "Bishamarta es hachuka hazos lemoada." It's unclear which chok that is. Is it the chok of the Pesach, or is it the chok of the tefillin? So you're saying this bracha refers to the tefillin, then it's saying this, that you have to be careful to treat the tefillin properly, and when it's nighttime, take them off. And so when you're taking off your tefillin at night, because you wore them all day long, then you say this bracha lishmar chukav. So that's the practice in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have that practice for all kinds of reasons. But if that's the case, so then of course this is not a kasha. This is every other mitzvah doesn't have that. But apparently the way this Gemara is treating it, it's taking lishmar chukav as a bracha you say over all kinds of mitzvahs. When you finish doing any kind of mitzvah, you say the bracha achron. Anyway, lepuke mai Gemara says lepuke reichani, the bracha on reyach. So for whatever the reason, it doesn't ever explain exactly why there's never a bracha achrona on reyach, but nobody has a bracha achrona on reyach. Just the bracha mishona. Okay, so that's the end of this whole sugya. Now, we have a whole chunk of Gemara over here, which I think we're going to skip. So, I would love to skip. Maybe we will skip it even. Because all it talks about is just foods and their experiences regarding foods and food recommendations and food reviews. And all we're going to see is let's skip down to three lines where it has the second wide line where it says, Rabbi Akiva, merafilo achal shelak, even if he just had some cooked vegetables. Gemara asks, what are you talking about? Miyaka miri to have a shelak mizone. Rabbi Akiva wants to eat a bench on shelak. Amar Rav Ashi, big. So, there is no such thing. When you cook vegetables, that's not a meal. Well, it is for a kruv. Kruv is like cabbage stalks. Okay, so starting from this Tana Rabbanan, trust me, we want to skip it. All it's got to say is a whole bunch of... Yeah, we really have to skip this. Read it on your own. Read it in English if you want to. So we're going down to the bottom. We're on the bottom line where it says Tudats. Hashos amayim litzamo. We're referring back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if you drink water litzamo, that if you drink water because you're thirsty, you say the bracha shakol. Rav Tarfon said bar nefashos. But now leapukemai. Wait a minute. What do you mean when you drink water litzamo? Leapukemai. Why else are you drinking the water? Oh, I'm a rabbi, Idi Baravin, Lepuke, Mande, Chanak, Teyumza. What do you mean? Sometimes, you know, you're coughing, it's a little, you're choking a little, and so you need a drink of water. And you drink the water. In that case, you don't say a bracha. It's not because you can't say bracha because you're choking and you're coughing and whatever. It's just that you don't have to say bracha because you're drinking the water for some purpose that isn't thirst. So this is halacha lemaisa, actually, that we know that if you're taking water to drink down a pill or something, no bracha on that, no shakol even. And if you're drinking water because that's a great way to keep your weight down, to stave off the hunger pangs, so then no bracha on that. It doesn't say when you drink water because you're hungry. It's only when you're thirsty. And if you're drinking water because, you know, it's appropriate, it's socially appropriate, it's anything, whatever, none of those get a bracha. It's only when you're thirsty, you say a bracha on water. Tosafot points out it's davka mayim. Of all beverages, this is true only for water. If you have any other kind of flavoring or whatever in it, so then you say bracha rishona on those beverages, but water is unique. So just like we had a whole question about bracha achrona on water specifically, so even have a question about bracha rishona, and you don't even always say bracha rishona when you drink water. So do that. It says, Rabbi Tarfon amir bori nefashos rabos v'chesra anan. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Tarfon holds bori nefashos. And Amarle Rava Bar Ravchanan li Abaye. So Rava Bar Ravchanan asks Abaye, or others have it as Rav Yosef. Hilchas Amai. Well, what's the psak on this one? Do we follow Rabbi Tarfon? Do we follow the Tanakama? So Amarle, so he says to him, hey, what are you asking me? Puk Chazi Mayama Debar. He says, go take a look at what everybody does. What does everybody do when they drink water? I don't know, what does everybody do when they drink water? So Rashi says, Mayama Debar, Eif Noagim, look at what everybody does. Farnagul Levarach Betchila Shehakol, Ulubisof Reinefashos Rebos Nechesranan. The minhag everybody has is Yisei Shehakol. That's what all the Moras tell all the kids. They're Koveya everything. All the minhagim are Nikba in preschool because the Moras tell the kids what to do and they grow up with that. So that's what they're told. Say Shehakol before you drink the water and Bor Nefashos afterwards. And that's the practice. And that becomes, methodologically, this is amazing that this is such a phenomenon that when you have a question of Psak and you're asking the Amora, you know, what's the Psak? And he says, Psak is what everybody does. That's the Psak. Psak is you follow the Minhag Olam. You follow Minhag Olam. Sometimes that is the method. Sometimes the poskim, when they talk about an issue, they're machriya based on Minhag Olam. And sometimes not. They ignore Minhag Olam and they just say what they think is the right way. All right. We're done. Adrian Lach, Ketzad, Mevarchim.